Let us all pray. On my heart imprint thine image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures have no power thee to efface. This the superscription be, Jesus, crucified for me, is my life, my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation. The word of God, which we shall read and consider on this memorial service for our dear friend Henry Hammond. The Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in the Gospel in the Book of Revelation, the 14th chapter, the 13th verse, where we read as follows in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. These are thy words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Dear Christian friends, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. About 2 weeks after school started last fall, Dr. Henry Hammond felt sick and went to the doctor. He was told that he had cancer of the pancreas and did not have long to live. The doctor and others told him that he ought to go home and die there. But he was against it. Why while away your time that way, he thought, and just die? No, he was going to work to the end and fulfill the commitment which he believed he had made to this seminary. Then about Thanksgiving time, he became very ill, and it was obvious that he was going to die. And Henry, true to form, made a decision. He would go home, and he'd celebrate Christmas with his dear ones, and then he'd die. And that's what happened. I received the news of Henry's death when I was up in northern Minnesota with my wife and two of my children celebrating the holidays. About 3 hours after I got that news, we were walking home, the family, from a friend's home, thinking about Henry. It had been snowing up there for 14 days in a row. 3 feet of snow. Snow was everywhere. It blanketed the lake, the rocks, the trees, everything. Except, of course, a few wild animals and birds. The sky was clear that night. There were thousands of stars, and we saw them all. And there were billions, maybe trillions of snowflakes all over the place, glistening, all of them like stars. It was a magnificent view, a real paradise. And then my youngest son, who'd known Henry quite well from a few months in Australia with him, asked a question. Will there be snow in heaven? And my wife, without any hesitation, just answered, Henry knows. A silly question, maybe, but a profound answer. Henry knows. Henry knows everything about heaven. and eternal life. He knows everything about God and His grace and His love and His glory. He knows everything about theology, which he studied all his life, even that question we discussed a few days ago, why the Corinthians baptized people for the dead. He knows God. He knows even as he himself has been known. He sees everything clearly. Like Moses, he sees God face to face in all his glory. Our text today actually talks about it with just one word, the word blessed. The voice of the angel comes from heaven and says, blessed are they that die in the Lord. And the Spirit replies, they have rest from their labor. Henry is enjoying the rest of salvation, the eternal rest of eternal life. Our text goes on to say, their works do follow. Henry's works are following. His works are right here among us today. We commemorate them, we know about them, we appreciate them, and they will follow him to heaven. I want to talk about that. This is not a funeral celebration. Henry's had his funeral. His body was laid to rest in the earth, and he awaits with his body the resurrection of the dead. His wife and his family, his dear ones back in Australia, were comforted with that same gospel that sustained and comforted him all his life. They know that he is now enjoying his eternal rest. No, today is a day of memory. And so I'd like to do a little reminiscing today, if I may, and to tell you some of the things I remember about Henry. Not to eulogize him. He would be furious with that. He was a poor, lost sinner. And he remembered that every day of his life, and he depended every day of his life and every moment upon the grace of God's forgiveness in Jesus. No, I want to talk about Henry today in the spirit of thankfulness to God, who called Henry from eternity to be his own, who saved him through the blood of Jesus, who brought him to faith through the word and waters of baptism, and who placed him in the ministry and made him a blessing to many, many people, including many, many of us here today. The first thing I shall always remember about Henry is that he was a really happy Christian. Now, I'm not implying that he was one of those pietistic schmaltzy type of people who are always talking about how happy they are to be Christians, and especially how happy that they believe in Jesus, but they don't really talk very much about what Jesus has done for them. Henry was no pietist. No, Henry was just a Christian who propter Christum in Christ appreciated and enjoyed all the gifts of life, the great and the small alike. He enjoyed walking. He enjoyed tennis. He enjoyed eating well and drinking well. I remember when I was in Australia teaching at the seminary there, we had a a real party for the incoming students. It was spring there, of course. And we had a wonderful time. And toward the end of the big evening, they started playing some music, and Henry got up and started dancing with some of the ladies. He'd never been taught to dance when he was a child. It was considered a sin, but he danced. I think he even danced with my wife. He enjoyed those things. He enjoyed everything. Life was one great big piece of enjoyment to Henry. Most of all, he enjoyed people. He loved, but he also enjoyed his wife and children and friends. And he enjoyed talking with them. And he enjoyed most of all talking about that which was most important to him, obviously, about God and the things of God. Even when he was sick and suffering and talked to many of us, he'd always talk about that great subject, wouldn't he? Theology. That was his favorite topic. The things about God. That's how I remember Henry. One who enjoyed life. One mark, I think, and this may be just my opinion, one mark of happiness in a Christian is a Christian sense of humor. Henry had a sense of humor. It wasn't one of those sarcastic, mean types which is exercised at the expense of other people, no? It was a genuine enjoyment in the amusing, funny things of life. And I'm sure some of you here today remember that speech he gave at the banquet several years ago during our confessions conference. He spoke about the most unlikely topic, Jesus' sense of humor. Remember that? And he proved every point from Scripture. He was into the Word. And this was not just some sort of flippant, irreverent talk. It was an engagement in some profound Christology. Because of Jesus, our Savior and substitute, true man, ate and drank and breathed, caught cold, and wept, and suffered, and died, then he must also have laughed and enjoyed a good joke, maybe, and the amusing things of life. That was actually part of his vicarious active obedience for us. He was true man, our substitute, in every respect. And if Jesus, our substitute, can laugh and enjoy the things of life, so can Henry. And so can you and I. And so Henry and you and I can also laugh, joke, enjoy life to the glory of God. The second thing I'll always remember about Henry is that he was a frank and honest Christian. And that's a virtue which sometimes gets a person in a little trouble. People don't like you when you're too honest. And Henry was often a very blunt man, as you may recall. But he confined his outspokenness and his honesty pretty much to the area of theology. Now, this straightforward honesty in such matters is a great virtue. It's a gift of God. It's part of the Christian's life of confession. Let me give you an illustration of this. It happened down in the in St. Louis in about early 1970s. Henry was spending the entire year there as a guest lecturer. And near the end of the year, we had our last faculty meeting. And at the end of that meeting, Henry stood up and he was going to give a speech and say goodbye. And so he told the faculty how much he appreciated their collegiality and friendship and hospitality during the year, and told them how much he missed them. And then he concluded by entering into a virtual diatribe, very long, very clear, and unmistakable, a diatribe against the historical critical method, which was so much in vogue back in those days. And no one said a word. That was the last speech of the day. I suppose most of those men didn't like it one little bit, but they had to respect Henry for his honesty. He was a witness, a real witness, a bold witness. And I'll always remember him for that. That's a gift which you and I could very well emulate, all of us, in this day of theological indifference and mugwumpism, when people are just sitting around worried about their shadow, unable to speak like dumb dogs in this secular, heretical, ridden world of ours. But Henry spoke out. Their works we follow. And then there's a final third thing that I remember about Henry, and I always will. He was a confident Christian. He was certain of God's grace in Christ. He was confident of the promises of the gospel. He was certain of his own personal salvation. He was confident in God's providence, that God was taking care of him and guiding him and directing him in every aspect of his life, even if God should take his life. And as the news of his sickness got worse and worse last fall, Henry's confidence in God's grace and his total commitment to God's guidance in his life just increased all the more. When I came to visit him one day, I tried to be very pastoral and try to tell him according to the hymn, you know, whatever God ordains is right, Henry, even if he should take your life now. And Henry just looked at me and changed the topic. Calm Henry. He wanted to talk about something more important. So he changed the topic of the challenges to confessional Lutheranism today. And we talked about that, his topic. Henry was a completely satisfied man. However God dealt with him, however God led his life. And really, why not? When you have a promise like the one in our text, blessed are they that die in the Lord from henceforth. Why talk about the sad and dismal things when you can talk about God and his grace? When Henry was near the end, I think this happened to many of you. You visited him and thought that was the last time, and then you said goodbye, and then you visited him again. And I think we went three times to say goodbye. The last time, he was in the hospital, St. Joseph, and he was sedated and uncomfortable. And I choked out the words, oh, something to the effect that I appreciated so much knowing him and having him as a friend, and I appreciated all that. And Henry, unemotional Henry, matter of fact, confident to the end, simply said, you can hear him, it was a nice relationship. And then my wife said the last words we ever spoke to him. She said, Henry, we're going to see you in heaven. And Henry never answered, except with a big, broad, confident smile. His works to follow. I'm sure you can remember many things about Henry too. These are the things that have stuck with me. And I treasure his memories, and I hope you will too. There's a stanza of an old Scandinavian hymn, which Henry never knew, but he knows it now. And it describes Henry. And I pray that by grace it will describe each and every one of you. It goes like this. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name we live and we will die. If we live, his love we will proclaim. If we die, we gain thereby. In Jesus' name, who from heaven to us came, we shall again arise and meet him in the skies. When at last, saved by his grace, we shall see him face to face, live with him in paradise. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.